This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with Auto Quote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Move your career further, faster in just 2 days with a Harvard Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and transform how you work and think to keep your career moving forward. You'll earn a certificate and can add Harvard to your resume with Harvard Professional and Executive Development. Learn more at professional.dce.harvard.edu/Spotify.
Thank you very much. Wow.
On election night, Donald Trump delivered his victory speech surrounded by those who had helped him regain control of the White House. And at one point, he handed the microphone to Dana White, who's CEO of the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
I want to thank some people real quick. I want to thank the Nelt Boys, Aiden Ross, Theo Vaughn, Bussin' with the Boys, and last but not least, the mighty and powerful Joe Rogan.
A lot of people responded to this list with a resounding, who? But Wired senior writer McKenna Kelly wasn't shocked to hear them.
And I think it just signifies how important these folks were to Trump's victory.
In the run-up to the election, the Trump campaign bypassed traditional media outlets. Instead, he spent 3 hours talking to Joe Rogan.
One of the things that
there's
I'm
a lot of interest in people coming from space, you know?
Yes.
And I know you're interested
in
that.
Oh, very interested in that.
Chatting with podcaster Theo Vaughn.
I've been in recovery most of the last 10 years.
How did you get addicted?
No, I would just do cocaine.
And being gifted a Cybertruck by kick streamer Aiden Ross.
Congratulations.
All right, well, you could already see the gift.
Yeah, I can. Wow.
You can't miss it.
That's an Elon.
These men are all headliners in a new media ecosystem. And talking to them was a calculated move.
In 2020, I think everyone on the campaign realized that Trump had hit his peak in popularity. There was no one else that he was going to turn out. That was as high as he was going to go. And so this year, what they focused on, especially towards the end of this election cycle, from the summer on, they really were focused on getting those people who typically don't vote.
Crucially, these creators all had one thing in common: a largely young male audience. It was a bold move by the campaign, but it worked.
You want to put Trump in front of apolitical audiences, people who are more interested in sports and maybe aren't registered to vote. And I think, you know, if these podcast appearances and influencer collabs were not the reason for Trump winning, it definitely played a significant role.
Today on the show, how Donald Trump used a new generation of media influencers to reach hearts, minds, and ballots. I'm Shayna Roth, filling in for Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around.
Have you heard about Doublenomics? It's okay if you haven't. It's extremely niche and practiced by Discover. Here's an example. Discover automatically doubles the cash back earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. It pays to Discover. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
To understand the connection between Donald Trump, these influencers, and the young men that connect them all, you first have to understand the manosphere, the very online, very male, very white sphere that revels in hyper-masculinity and has its own set of stars.
Andrew Tate, for example, who is an infamous misogynist, who is kind of one of the main people in pickup culture, where you're teaching young men how to pick up women in YouTube videos and podcasts.
Women want to be with a man which keeps them entertained, and a man which they trust, and a man which they believe can fix all of their problems. This is another important thing. If a woman comes to you with an issue and you can't fix it, you'll see very quickly how soon they lose attraction.
Would you ever?
These people were speaking to what people like to call this loneliness epidemic in young men, where they're feeling more left behind as women are going to college more than they are. Women are starting to make, you know, more money than they were, still not, you know, as much as men or more than men. And I think these people, these men feel a bit threatened. And these people, these podcasters like Andrew Tate, are there to tell them that you're right. I want to affirm your feelings. And you know what? With Trump, having these conversations with Trump, he's giving them an outlet to create this kind of political change or the societal change, cultural change that they're looking to do anyways.
These influencers might not be household names, but they have huge fan bases. Andrew Tate had millions of followers, at least until he was arrested for rape and human trafficking. Joe Rogan and Theo Vaughn have two of the most popular podcasts in the country. Aiden Ross has more than 7 million followers on the streaming platform Kick. For their fans, watching or listening isn't just about entertainment. It's an identity.
You know, someone who listens to Joe Rogan, there is a type of person who is a Joe Rogan listener. There is a type of person who watches boxing and wrestling and knows of Logan and Jake Paul. These are specific, you know, communities of people who engage with each other very frequently. The manosphere is like a whole group of, you know, blogs and YouTube videos and all of this stuff, Discord servers where these people are constantly connecting with each other, you know, and reaffirming again, you know, these beliefs. So yeah, I think it's not only just the size, which definitely plays a huge role, but also like the communities behind them and how active that they are.
These communities have their differences, but there's one thread that links all of them together.
Well, if you look at all of the guys that Trump spent a lot of time with, they all have this specific definition of masculinity, which is not what I think Tim Walz or the Kamala Harris campaign was selling over the summer. I think their definition of masculinity is more focused on, you know, this concept of protection, protecting women, whatever they think that is, even though it's not supporting, you know, abortion rights or things like that. But protecting women, being the man of the house, there has been this, even amongst women in many ways, this desire to go back to, you know, traditional values. And I think even though these men are maybe a bit more hyper-masculine, most of them don't have girls, you know, girlfriends or wives themselves, they still preach this stuff to people who have these feelings and thoughts.
What was the Trump campaign's method for reaching these voters? Did they like initiate this relationship with these podcasters and these influencers? How did this work?
Yeah, it sounds like there was a lot of reaching out to these people specifically and targeting them. I think they saw that the audience that these folks had was the audience that they needed to reach. And I think Dana White also helped a lot. He, of course, is the CEO of the UFC. He's well connected to the Paul brothers, for example, people like Aiden Ross. He's in that circle. So I'm sure it was a mix of reaching out to these people and having people on the campaign with pre-existing relationships, setting all of that up. What the Trump advisor told me the day after the election was that traditional media outlets do not reach young men the way that they want to be reached. And if that was the audience that they were hoping to contact and turn out, then they needed to find different methods and different mediums of doing so.
When we come back, the Democrats' social media game was going well until suddenly it wasn't. Can they find their own Joe Rogan experience? This episode is brought to you by Glean.
AI has the potential to help everyone be more efficient at work, but only if it deeply understands the data, people, processes, and context specific to your work. That's exactly what Glean's Work AI platform does. Glean has proven to be a helpful tool for businesses looking to improve knowledge access and boost productivity. Glean's powerful AI assistant helps you find answers, generate content, and automate work. With Glean's search and work hub capabilities, employees can find everything they need to know. Glean has solutions for all types of teams, from customer support and engineering to sales and HR. Visit glean.com/TBD to see how Glean can help every employee at your company do their best work with AI. That's glean.com/TBD to request a demo today. Glean, work AI for all.
Move your career further, faster in just 2 days with a Harvard Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and transform how you work and think to keep your career moving forward. You'll earn a certificate and can add Harvard to your resume with Harvard Professional and Executive Development. Learn more at professional.dce.harvard.edu/Spotify.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/campaign to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Let's turn to the other side of this equation, which is the Democrats. Biden really leaned heavily on influencers in 2020, and they seem poised to capitalize on that in this election too, but it didn't seem to work. What happened?
No, I think it actually starts with the Biden campaign before we even move into Harris over the last 100 days or so of the campaign that she ran. We lost the entire narrative of Biden. Who was Biden? We have been told for so long that Biden, he's a sweet grandpa who likes ice cream and wears aviators. Is he that one? Or is Biden the old, Senate man who will save democracy? It was very hard to kind of decide, it was very hard to identify exactly who Biden was. And I think we lost that a little bit. And I think the same kind of happened with Kamala Harris as well, where they were focusing so much on whatever the data and analytics were telling them to do. I think they were just so clued in on that, that they lost the bigger picture. And we didn't really have, I think voters didn't really see a true, clear picture of who Kamala was through their digital strategy.
It almost sounds like you're saying they overthought it on some level.
I think that's exactly it. And I think, there's a big reason why, which I think, a lot of the same people who are running the Biden campaign's digital team this year were the same folks who helped out in 2020. They have been doing this for a while. They, at this point, I think they've developed a playbook and they wanted to refine that playbook. And instead of, they missed the forest for the trees because they were just too glued in on the numbers. They all this content went viral, but it didn't come back together to create that, that real final image of who was it that they were trying to sell to voters.
And how did that differ from the influencers for Trump?
Yeah, well, I think Trump specifically, he is known. And the people who love Trump are going to turn out for Trump regardless, no matter what. And I think the decision to go after these young men, Trump did it in so many different ways. We talk about the podcasts and Joe Rogan, et cetera, but the one thing we have to mention, like Elon Musk and X, like that is a very, he leans into the same stuff. He leans into the same, people should, have traditional families. They should have lots of children. He likes to, say that he made it on his own and he is this like successful businessman like Trump. That is a very, that plays its own part in this reaching young men. And also like, you look at what Trump did a lot through, the final months of this campaign, he reached out to crypto voters who are, turning into this kind of more right-leaning libertarian folks who also, kind of, if they are not a part of this ecosystem, they at least circle it. And so for Trump, he already knew that he had the people that he had. he decided that these were the folks that we needed, and he just went straight into it, did not think too much about other people, other groups of people, and what they needed to see, because they already knew.
So Harris did sort of make her own attempt at utilizing influencers, particularly podcasts. She went on Call Her Daddy, trying to appeal to young women. She went on the All the Smoke Sports podcast to try and appeal particularly to Black men. And it just didn't seem to take for her.
Yeah, I don't know this for sure, but what a Trump advisor did tell me when it came to Trump and this strategy was that there were no rules. When Trump went, it was just Trump and this person. There was no discussion about what questions were going to be asked. They were just going to let these men yap. Like, that was the agreement. And it seems, you know, from what we're hearing behind the scenes, you know, from Joe Rogan about his discussion with the Kamala Harris campaign, they wanted to be a bit more hands-on. In his podcast, in Joe Rogan's podcast with Theo Vaughn after the election, he said that the campaign wanted to be able to look at the final edit before it went up, or, you know, have some role in the editing process. They used these people for their audiences, but I don't think that they put Kamala there in the way that their audiences are used to seeing people. But again, like, you have to look at Kamala Harris and understand what it's like being a woman running for president. They're going to say that they're going to critique everything that you do anyways.
This way of presenting Harris, professional, calculated, and maybe a bit bland, carried over to the ecosystem of many Democratic influencers.
They're of a bit more professional class, I think you could say. And their audiences know what they're getting from them in terms of politics. They're going to, you know, stump for Democrats. They're going to run, you know, maybe some side meme accounts that's like talking about all of Kamala Harris's wins. And they're kind of predictable there for that reason. And then I think on the side, the right side, the Republican side, it's not a political professional, you know, ecosystem. These are guys who have built their platforms themselves for the most part. They have huge followings and they don't need Donald Trump, really. Donald Trump is getting a lot more from them at this point than they are getting from him.
Do we know how much people these days get their news from alternative media like your Joe Rogan's or other podcasts versus that traditional media like CNN, Fox News, MSNBC?
You know, old media is not reaching the types of people, you know, younger groups of people. And as those people grow into a larger voting block, I'm afraid that, you know, they might, unless, you know, CNN or the New York Times or whoever decides to change their business model radically or find one that works in this, you know, in this industry, in this moment in time, they're going to lose these people. And so long as that doesn't change, I think the Joe Rogans of the world, all of these podcasters will be far more dominant in the coming years.
Do you think it's just the distrust in traditional media that is causing this shift, or is it something more?
Distrust certainly plays a role. Something that I think a lot about as a reporter is how to make myself more than my byline. How am I beyond the name that's on the magazine, right? The black serif font. And how can I take readers in behind what my reporting is in order to maybe earn a little bit more trust and let them get to know me better? Whereas, you know, people know Joe Rogan really well. They watch all of his episodes every week, whether they're driving in their cars or they're working. He's on all the time. They're very familiar with him. What people are seeking more and more online is not just, especially with how fractured the internet is not just a place to post, you know, their thoughts, but they're looking for online communities.
I think one of the things that makes people nervous about all of this is that part of the role of traditional media is to be impartial and push back against a campaign when they feel it's necessary. But influencers aren't beholden to that, and they're not even required to assert their bias or sort of make it obvious. You know, I was thinking about how when someone is selling something on social media, they have to put ad. If you are working for a campaign, either directly or indirectly, you don't have to put campaign sponsor or anything on your posts. Is the uptick in alternative media as a way to get a politician's message out concerning to you? Or is it really just an inevitable, natural evolution of where our media landscape is going?
it's messy. And it's going to continue to get messier. And I think I would want to be a bit more optimistic about audiences online. And I think a lot of them are starting. I saw so much pushback from TikTokers, just regular users on Instagram being like, this person sold out to the Biden campaign or whatever. You know, we don't know if they actually, you know, received money per se, but they definitely, you know, towed the party line. And I think that was pointed out a lot by audiences. And I think the best case scenario for the future is the best parts of influencer media meet the best parts of journalism and create something that, you know, is still fact-checked and is, you know, holds a certain standard of ethics, but also, you know, understands that these people know what they're doing, at least in a, you know, at least in a couple different ways, right? And we should take lessons from them. We shouldn't just disregard them entirely, because of course, you know, there's a reason why they're so popular, and we could learn from that.
McKenna Kelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, great being here.
McKenna Kelly is a senior political writer for Wired. And that is it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell, Patrick Fort, and Alyssa Zhang Perry. Our show is edited by Paige Osborne. Alicia Montgomery is vice president of audio for Slate. TBD is part of the larger What Next family. And if you like what you heard, the best way to support us is by joining Slate Plus. You get all your Slate podcasts ad-free, as well as exclusive bonus content like What Next's The Surge, which unpacks the craziest political news surrounding the election. And let's face it, in these upcoming months and years, you're going to need it. We'll be back Sunday with another episode. I'm Shayna Roth, filling in for Lizzie O'Leary. You can find me on Blue Sky and Instagram. Thanks for listening.
Save on holiday favorites at Safeway. This week at Safeway, get a free Signature Farms whole frozen turkey, grade A, with a minimum purchase of $150 or more in a single transaction. Member price, limit one offer per household. Plus, get 12 ounces of Oscar Mayer bacon for $3.97 each with digital coupon. Limit four. Also this week at Safeway, Lucerne milk, half gallons, selected varieties are $2.47 each with digital coupon. Limit two. Visit Safeway.com or head in store for more deals.